The Rain Podcast Business Summit 2021 from New York.
Hi, everybody. And I have a note here that I have a note here from Lee. It says, please remind people that this is the last session and the cash bar opens right after. But I'm thinking that must be from last year's session. Is that possible? Well, okay, so worth your weight and every penny that you put into this, we've got it all for you right here. Lee mentioned who our panelists are. I'm going to spend a few minutes with each of them and then we'll get everybody together. I'm going to start with Anne Frisbee, who has the best title of anybody at this conference today because she's the SVP of Global Supply at AdsWiz, and I'd like to welcome her. And of course, I have to ask the question, what is somebody who does Global Supply actually do?
Hi, everyone. So AdsWiz offers audio technology predominantly to publishers, and I run global business development, working with all of our publishers and podcasters, as well as our omnichannel DSP partners. So anyway, nice to be here, guys.
It's good to have you here. So AdsWiz, famous, of course, for streaming and programmatic. Kind of walk us through where things stand and obviously going through big changes with SiriusXM and mid-roll and so forth. But walk us through where the podcast programmatic piece of this is today. And I think about this in terms of where it was a year ago. In fact, it was a year ago this week that I moderated the ad tech panel, and it was an entirely different panel because all of this stuff was sort of in the future, and now it's kind of here. So walk us through the programmatic audio piece for podcasts.
Sure, I'm happy to. I'd say, most of the money in the podcast space today still runs on a direct sold basis. So host read ads, sponsorship level buys, or kind of contextual targeted buys that are direct sold. All of our programmatic capabilities are available for our publishers to use though in the podcast space. And we have seen an increase in the amount of programmatic buys that are coming into podcast inventory. I really feel that, it's interesting having just heard from Horizon and Wise and Veritonic that, from the buy side, I think you can see how much the podcast advertising is still rooted in direct response advertising. You have kind of your largest categories being the direct to consumer retail brands and your financial services brands and your telecom companies. And I think what programmatic is going to start in my mind to unlock is bringing in kind of new advertisers who maybe haven't been traditional advertisers in the audio space, maybe have spent more from a brand marketing perspective into streaming, particularly streaming video, and are now looking at podcasts as an opportunity for more streaming audio, premium streaming audio opportunities. So my take is that programmatic will be one of those levers that really help to drive new advertisers to understand and see the value of podcast inventory.
There seems to be a fear, though, of programmatic. I would imagine that's occurred in every platform, TV, audio. I guess it doesn't matter. Everybody worries about it. And this has been, a year ago at the session, it was still primarily, baked in ads and host read ads. That clearly goes away in a program environment. Am I wrong about that?
No, so we're currently doing beta programs around programmatic host read. So that really just comes down to, can you support, and we have a buying platform called Audiomatic, can you support a buying process that enables host read or announcer read creative to be flighted in a bidding process? So we do offer that today. It is fairly early in the industry. So where that nets out and whether that becomes a primary way that people transact programmatically, to a large extent, will be up to our publishing partners and podcasters and how they want to work with buyers. But it is something that we're currently testing to see if that can enable new buyers to come in even on those kind of unique creative formats.
But early days, nonetheless. So on the streaming side, obviously you're a part of Pandora, so that's probably the word is not mature, but you've been at it for a number of years. So this is the brave new world of podcast.
Yeah.
Let me bring John Morris into the conversation. John is the VP of streaming and on demand at Wide Orbit. John, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm fine. Thanks.
So Wide Orbit, a company that's sort of a full stack. I mean, when I think of Wide Orbit, I think of everything from TV to audio to on-demand ad delivery, the whole thing. Walk us through where you guys are in terms of podcasting today.
Okay, sure. Thanks. So, and hello, everybody, and thanks. And I, being on the last panel of the day, it's usually like we're the ones between you and the happy hour, the free drink, or whatever. So, hope everyone's had a good day, and that this panel's helpful and goes well. You know, Wide Orbit's been around for a long time, like you said, Steve, 22 years or so, and we're probably best known for the work that we've done with TV, radio, and our network clients. There's something like $35 billion that runs through Wide Orbit's traffic platform. What's less known is the work that we've done on streaming and podcasting, and then as well as our programmatic exchange. On the podcasting side specifically, and I like, you know, we see ourselves really as being publisher focused. So just to make that clear, we've kind of always sat on the publisher side. We connect and integrate with folks like Ann at AdsWiz, bringing in programmatic demand, and with our partners at Magnite and Target Spot and Audio Trade and others. But we're really kind of the publisher's tool set, if you will. So we're providing things like that server-side ad insertion and the metrics and the advanced targeting, the connections to the DMPs and the trafficking platform. So that, you know, if you're a podcast host and you've got a single podcast, you can use the platform for everything kind of end to end. Or if you're seeing, and we're seeing this increasingly, TV and print and network also now coming to podcast as an effective medium to get their product out into to gain ears and drive revenue. We're helping those folks manage both their linear and their digital on a single order through the traffic platform. So in a nutshell, it's kind of where.
Hey, I got to ask you, because you sent me a note saying that you hold several patents on dynamic ad insertion.
I do. So I think it's funny, or maybe I just tell myself that every morning when I wake up. But I've been in audio for 20 plus years. So from the very earliest days of radio stations getting online and turning on those streams, many for the first time, doing dynamic ad insertion and content replacement. And then really just kind of, you know, over the next kind of 20 years or 15 years, taking all of those technologies forward. So that, you know, as we talk about things like pixel-based attribution and, you know, advanced targeting and reaching audience segments and all those sorts of things, you know, again, we're still providing the kind of the tool set that's required to help our publisher friends maximize their revenue.
Let me bring Jerry Edwards in. He is the founder and CEO of the cleverly named Podcast Radio. But the clever part is actually what he is doing. He has built a radio station, I believe, based in London that is focused on podcast content that is broadcast on radio. Jerry, join us here and tell us a bit about it.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, it's a brilliant and a terrible name at the same time. I understand that, but I had to say exactly what it was. The funny thing is, you know, Anne and John have talked about putting their ads onto the platforms. And of course, you've got to have listeners to do that. And we come in at that level when the networks or the independents all need new listeners. And we think that's the hardest part of podcasting or the biggest problem right now. as it gets flooded, you know, James Cridland earlier today said two podcasts were made every minute last year, which is just phenomenal to think. And every time more get created, it's great for us because we've designed the platform in which people come and discover new podcasts. Actually, you know, it's an audio billboard, just to stress in case someone's sitting there thinking, do they actually have radio channels? We've got radio channels in London, Surrey, Manchester, and Glasgow. And by the end of this year, we should have about five more cities and regions in the UK under our belt too. So the idea is we air a piece of content, whether it's, you know, a podcast from any genre, and someone listens and it's sampled then en masse while it's a linear platform. That's the only thing we're playing right there at that moment. And if it's really enjoyable and someone falls in love with it, which we certainly have seen some good results early, they'll go and become a subscriber, a follower, a liker. And that means then they're being sold the adverts in podcast land, you know.
And so are you, what's a monetization strategy? Are you selling ads on podcast radio? And are you licensing the content from the podcasters? Walk us through the ecosystem.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The first thing we did was make sure a podcaster benefits by being on. And so what it meant, funnily enough, was a bottleneck. We have thousands of applications of podcasters trying to have their content on, more so now and more so in the future, because we've managed to get a big listener base. And as those listeners are now hearing podcast content, everyone wants to be on, to be featured. What it does mean is we've got this platform running podcasts nearly back to back, but in between podcasts, and we don't pause a podcast to play an ad. But however, every hour there ends up being a couple of minutes for us to play with. And we might put an original interview with a podcaster in. We might put a feature that we've created. We've got our own chart show, but we then have advertising space. And what's actually happened in the last few months for us, we've created a bit of original content and we've managed to get advertisers to advertise just the radio play around that content. And so all of a sudden we've brought in something that just didn't exist this time. I was going to say 12 months ago, it didn't exist 1 month ago in podcasting with podcast content and monetization. So we're quite lucky in that it's new and exciting. And when you were saying, Steve, you know, the brand new world of podcasting, we're even newer again on top of some of the other platforms. But it's gone well for our first 12 months. However, we work in conjunction with podcasters and our job is to see success for the ones we do feature.
And how are you selecting those podcasts? Because that has to be, pardon the pun, rarefied air.
Yeah, it does. And a couple of things we check. Does it sound great when someone applies? We can partner up. We've made some great partnerships with Evergreen Podcasts in Ohio, for instance. We've got Curious Cast in Canada. We've got Radio New Zealand, who have all signed up. We're working on a few announcements that we can't tell you just yet. But the content has to sound great. It has to be radio playable. We've got Ofcom in the UK. And then, of course, it's scheduled a bit like a music station. You know, in every music station or radio station, and I'm sure everyone understands this somewhere, there is a human being who says, oh, that song's good. That song's not for us right now. And there's someone behind the scenes of podcast radio doing that. We just want great content that our listeners are now trusting us to air and curate for them.
And this is just a year old, just about a year old?
Just a year old.
Yeah.
It's 13 months old. The interesting thing is, I don't want to steal anyone's time here. We've got those radio channels in the UK, and that's where our biggest reach is, of course. However, we're getting 125 plus countries every month who are coming in to see what we're doing. So we've made sure that radio doesn't just run a day part, it runs 24/7 with the same model, because obviously different time zones are dropping in whenever they like to. So we had to be a bit clever and we've had to see. In fact, you told me, Steve, believe it or not, you won't remember this, 18 months ago when we were talking about launching it in London, when people could meet in person, you said to me, you said, well, you're not going to tell people if they like it. Your listeners are going to tell you if they like it. And In 10 years of radio, I'd never heard that. And I loved that expression. And I kind of took your advice. And we're really pleased that what the listeners have told us is they enjoy clicking it on any time of day and discovering new content that is good. And that was, as simply put, they just discover new content ready for them. That is pretty much across the board. You could listen to it no matter who you are, that we pick genres quite clever. You know, we're not going to play the golf scores from yesterday. We make sure it's pretty much appreciated by just about anyone who can drop in. So thanks for that advice, Steve. And I took it on and stole that idea.
Well, you know, the tyranny of the audience. And by the way, you know, James is right. There's a gazillion podcasts And most of them are released in the past pandemic year, and a lot of them will go away. And which brings me to a subject that is more in Anne and John's wheelhouse. I'd like to bring you in and talk about what happens. You know, we sort of know what happens with that upper tier of podcasts, that upper 1% of podcasts. But, you know, Cadence has 250 podcasts, and Midroll is 200, and Wondery 150. That's the rarefied air. But the millions of other podcasters, what are they going to do for monetization? How, is the programmatic piece where that's going to end up? And John, take a shot at that.
John, I'm happy if you want to go first, or I can dive in, whichever you want.
Go ahead.
So one thing that we've rolled out in the last quarter, in Q4 of 2020, was a new kind of targeting set called PodScribe. I don't know if folks here have heard of it, but what this does is it basically, we transcribe in near real time podcast content, right? We take the audio files and we transcribe them into text. And from that text information, we now have a set of advanced targeting capabilities that are pretty broad. So some examples of things that are now possible from this activity is, you know, real-time episodic level genre targeting, right? The way that podcasts go into the app stores is, you know, at the show level. Well, obviously any particular show can have very different topics that it covers at the episode level. So this is the first time that validated episode level genre targeting will be available to buyers. This has also enabled us to roll out third-party verified brand safety targeting, right? So we work with Comscore on this, and now a buyer can support kind of brand safety level controls for buying into podcast inventory based on content analysis. And then this also enables us to have contextual audiences. So I bring this up because I think that there are a lot of podcasts, and even some of the smaller ones certainly have value to buyers, but you need some way to buy on those at scale that's effective. And certainly when you think about whether it's a Drexel buy or a programmatic buy, I may need a level of brand safety validation on top of that to enable that scale to happen, but in a way that my brand is going to be protected from the buyer's side. So that's a big set of advanced targeting we rolled out last year. And I think it's interesting, especially in light of the iOS 14 changes that are really going to limit more audience based from kind of first party audience targeting capabilities, which have often not been available in podcast inventory to begin with because of the distribution of this content through third party players, right? The app players. So this brings, I think, a level of targeting that's even more important, not only to podcasts that have needed this, I think, to scale buying across the content, but also because I think there's going to be more reliance by buyers in 2021 and beyond on advanced kind of contextual or behavioral-based targeting. So that's at least one thing that we think will help enable buys to happen on a broader set of podcasts.
John, I'm thinking a little bit about Wide Orbit's background in network radio. And in network radio, it's a lot of piles of content. And I don't mean that pejoratively. I mean, there's the sports and there's, upper demo, aging, whatever it may be. Does that sort of feel like where it might be going here?
I agree with what Anne said, and helping, you know, helping kind of those, helping to aggregate those smaller podcasters, all of their inventory into this brand safe, know what you're buying sort of pool that makes sense for a large advertiser to come in and transact on programmatically. Like makes a ton of sense. And to what you're saying as well, I think, Steve, is where, and obviously, you know, security and privacy is kind of a changing landscape every day, and probably accelerating. And so in these environments that are, you know, smart speakers and mobile apps and things like that, where there aren't as many identifiers, there aren't cookies, there aren't those sorts of things, and cookies are just going away in general. Working with partners like, working with folks like TrueOptic to help identify those audience segments so that, again, it's, you know what the content is you're buying, you know it's brand safe, and you do have an idea of who the audience is at scale, really, I think, going to be one of the things that helps drive revenue for those podcasters that you're talking about.
We have just a few minutes left. I would like to spitball here, since we're at the end. We could talk about the future a little bit. There's no question that the business is fundamentally changed. And so, for example, Spotify really has a full stack. They're able to do everything from the ad serving all the way down to the podcast serving. Where does that put everybody else, or does that matter at the end of the day?
If I could say something on that, Steve, and I'm glad you said Spotify. Spotify tried, and whether someone has done it really on purpose or whether it's just kind of accidentally happened, the Joe Rogan ring fencing of that content on Spotify, we all understand the business model, make sure people come to Spotify. They also put little clips of Joe Rogan's show on Apple. Now, if you think why they've done that, it's quite clearly to say to Apple listeners, remember this, do you like this? Come to Spotify to get it. And I think if we're talking about the future, and we were quite careful with how we set up our business model, we work with everyone right now. We were independent, or fiercely independent, for the fact that we could be everyone's friends. But also, we've kind of got listeners who are willing to go to any channel, although everyone assigns themselves to their own gateway platform. And I think the next year or two is the real competition between the big players going and grabbing listeners from each other. They're already doing that, we know. But how they do it is an interesting one. And then, of course, you've got the advertisers who are trying to buy on those platforms. And will they get blocked out of it? You know, if Spotify gets enough people, they're blocking out the advertisers on it. But that was just a really clever example of seeing that there is a chance here in podcasting that doesn't happen on TV and radio, of going into other platforms and putting samples of content. And I think there's a really interesting thing to come from that.
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, Ann.
It's okay. I don't know if I see it that way. If anything, Spotify is having to embrace off-platform distribution of podcasts because they do not own a majority of the market share on the consumer side for podcast listening. They do not have the market share they have on the music side. Apple Podcasts continues to be an absolute behemoth, and there's many other distribution companies out there, including Stitcher, that are quite large. So, and on top of that, Spotify still does not have a programmatic stack, right? They partner for that. So they actually, unlike most broadcasters, don't really yet have the end-to-end stack. Now, I'm sure that they will build that. I don't know their plans. But I think that there is a truth in what you're saying, that every major broadcaster or publisher or podcaster is making decisions on selecting or building themselves, it depends on who they are, a full advertising and audio technology from content to advertising stack. And those advanced features are very important for them to service the fastest growing area of their business, which is going to be digital audio. And within that is going to be podcasts. So I agree with the statement that I think there is a full stack approach going. But at least from consumer listening standpoint, no one actually owns that's in the business of advertising today. That's my sense, at least from distribution side. Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a fight to keep it open. I mean, it's kind of the nature of podcasting feels like this free and open medium. And anyone's attempt to lock it down, I think, will be met with some resistance.
Well, I think the only thing I would say is I don't know what will happen in terms of potential backlash from publishers as a result of the iOS 14 rollout. to the extent that I am a premium publisher who is able to secure a fully logged in experience with my content, and now Apple's not even enabling me to use the value of my own email addresses, my own subscriptions, I wish there would be more backlash. And this would absolutely change the dynamics of distribution if I wasn't able to go there. I don't think that's going to happen. Unfortunately, in all of the ad tech revolutions that have happened to date over the last 25 years, publishers do have a hard time banding together because they're all competing, right? They compete with each other at different levels, and it's very hard for them to have joint power against platforms, right? And but I think it's so, I think Apple's taken this rollout too far. That's my general feeling in terms of preventing premium publishers from being able to use the assets that I believe they should be able to use with consumers. But that, maybe that's because I support the publishers in my job.
Guys, we are out of time. I want to thank John and Ann and Jerry for spending some time here. I only have 27 other things on my list to cover, but sadly we're out of time. So I'm going to flip it back to the studio and Lee, and thanks everybody.